Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Father.
And welcome to our day of prayer. As I said earlier, even more so now, you're all looking very resplendent and holy. Having spent an hour and a half of private prayer, that's a wonderful thing. And we've been doing this for some time now, this day of prayer. And I want to thank you all for creating the time to come. I know it's not easy these days to create that time, but you just have to create it. And I am glad you are here. So I'm going to speak this morning as advertised, the importance of intercessory prayer in the Christian life. And you're going to have a copy of this talk as soon as I finish. So you don't need to, you could still write whatever strikes you. We're going to have copies eventually. You know, sometimes if I give the copy to you now, some of you would have read it in advance. And there'll be no need to come this morning, you know. So I hold this, and then sometimes I can skip a paragraph here. But if you have it with you, oh, Father, you missed a paragraph. Come back. So that is why it's always good to give it to you later. I'd like to thank the Adult Faith Formation of St. Michael's here that put all this together. In particular, Margarita, who is my contact person. And we remember all our Adult Faith Formation members who have passed away, especially Ruth Stone, with whom the difference between Ruth and Margarita is that Margarita asked me what we should do. Why Ruth told me what I should do. So that's the only difference I see. So intercessory prayer is to the Christian life what air is to human life. So intercession is an essential part of Christian prayer. And there's hardly any Christian prayer that does not include intercession. And the highest prayer of the church, the Holy Mass, almost from the beginning to the end, is laced with intercession, both for the living and for the dead. And even during Mass, we pray for the Pope, bishops, and everybody. So what I'm going to do this morning is to just explain very briefly prayer in the Christian life and focus on intercessory prayer. And also to distinguish it very slightly between what is the difference between intercession and petition. And then perseverance in prayer, especially with intercessory prayer. How do we persevere? And we'll call on the Blessed Virgin Mary as a model of intercession and, of course, all the saints. Prayer in the Christian life. Prayer is the live wire of the Christian life. It is the gateway to the spiritual life. It is the best way to communicate with God. And prayer is the best weapon in the spiritual life. Prayer is a well-oiled machine of the Christian life. It is inconceivable to think of the Christian life without prayer. It is through prayer that the Christian deepens his or her relationship with God. Just as the Word of God has tremendous impact on us as Christians, so is prayer. We pray every day, and yet we cannot say we have prayed enough. You can't say, well, I think I have prayed pretty much enough to last me for a lifetime. It doesn't work that way, you know? And we just keep praying and praying. Prayer is the hunger and desire to be with God. Stay with God, communicate with God, and be attuned to God's presence in one's life. It is through a consistent prayer life that we become at peace with ourselves and with God. It's difficult to actually talk about prayer because it's so vast. But the best way to talk about prayer sometimes is just to look at our own lives. So I'm not here to talk about prayer generally. That can take us a whole day. But I'm going to focus today on intercessory prayer. So what does it mean, actually? Intercessory prayer means to ask a favor from God on behalf of others. It is very important to pray beyond oneself for others. Oftentimes we promise people of our prayers, and at other times we pray for people even without their knowledge that we're praying for them. At times we ask people to pray for us. In fact, we are moved daily to intercede for the varied material and spiritual needs of people. And here at St. Michael's, we have the prayer warrior list that has existed for so many years. I get that list. Through that, I have a clue of what is happening at St. Michael's and around. You know, people that I know, all our people who have left us recently, even while I was away, I have a clue. And I also join in praying for people whenever I get that list myself. According to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and I quote, "In intercession, he who prays looks not only to his own interests, but also to the interest of others, even to the point of praying for those who do him harm." Even to that extent, that you will pray for those who do you harm. And of course, our Lord will be a model of this, you know. Say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." And when Stephen was being stoned, he said, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." Some of us would have preferred saying, "Lord, punish them for this sin, you know. Make sure they rot in hell for a long time to come." And yet, Stephen said, "Do not hold this sin against them." So through intercession, that one can come to a certain stage that even those who don't like you, your our so-called enemies, and even those who deliberately try to do us harm, pray for them. And that is the power of intercession. The prayer of petition and intercession, because I'm going to be using them interchangeably. So intercession, in a nutshell, is to ask for God's favor on behalf of others. While the prayer of petition or supplication is to pray for self. So sometimes we pray for ourselves. "Oh Lord, please help me do this." That is for me now. That is petition. While intercession is always for other people. But the two are linked. It's like asking favor both for ourselves and for others, our family members and everyone. So intercession and petition are intertwined, and they are like two sides of a coin. We see both in the Old Testament and New Testament the expressions of prayers, of petitions, and intercessions. Abraham interceded for the people of Sodom. We always have that passage sometimes at Mass. Say, "Lord, I hope you are not angry. Suppose you find 40 people." Yes. And they were bargaining, you know. And God said, "No problem." Eventually, they couldn't find that 5 people, you know. Moses interceded for the people of Israel most of the time. They would sin. God would call Moses, "You see these people? You see them now? Oh, God, please." I always feel sorry for Moses. You know why? When he got into trouble, nobody interceded for him. This man who interceded for everybody, when he got so frustrated, nobody interceded for him. That was why he didn't get to the promised land. And yet he interceded for others. King David, this is a prayer of petition now. King David asked God to forgive him his sins. This beautiful psalm, Psalm 51, is attributed to King David. Psalm of mercy, the miserere. Of course, the sins of David are there for everybody to see. They are not hidden. But nobody could be more repentant than David. Say, "Lord, I beg, forgive me." So he's praying for himself. And if we pray the Psalms, they are mainly hymns of praise, but you see intercessory prayers over and over, and also prayers of petition. In the New Testament, there are several instances of intercessory prayers when individuals sought favor from Jesus for other people. It is worth noting that the majority of the healings of Jesus Christ in the scriptures were as a result of intercession of other people. I have a book that will come up down the road. It's already written, and there's a chapter on the healing ministry of Christ. And I was able to see all the different miracles that Jesus carried out. The majority took place as a result, that is, those he healed, majority were because others interceded for people. For example, the centurion asked Jesus, "Please, Lord, heal my servant who is ill at home." And of course, we all know the story. At the end, he said, "You know, I'm not even worthy to have you under my roof." This was a Roman official asking for his servant, presumably or probably a Jew, "Heal my servant." And the Lord said, "Go." He said, "Lord, I'm not even worthy to have you in my roof." You have this Canaanite woman in Matthew's gospel who begged Jesus. Said, "Please heal my daughter. She's possessed. She's sick." And Jesus just ignored her. And she was a nuisance to some extent. The disciples told Jesus, "You attend to this woman. Let her go. Let her go." And the Lord said, "You know, it's not good to take the food of the children and give it to dogs." The woman could have gone away. Who are you calling a dog, by the way? You know. But she kept insisting that even the dogs eat from the scraps that fall from the master's table. The Lord just said, "You know what? You have a great faith. Go. Your faith has saved you." Again, somebody interceded. A synagogue official. Remember during the ministry of Jesus, he's the president of the synagogue, Jairus. He asked Jesus for his daughter. And there are so many. But we also have petition, people asking for favor from God. A typical example is Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. "Jesus, son of David." He was screaming. People said, "Quiet, keep quiet." And he screamed even more. "Say, shut up." Then they said, "Okay, bring him. What do you want me to do for you?" Say, "Rabuni, let me see again." You and I, if Jesus were to ask you, "What do you want me to do for you?" we have a long list. "Jesus, do this one, this one, this one, this one, this one." But it was so clear. Say, "Rabuni, let me see again." He was praying for himself, and the Lord granted it. So evidently, the prayer of petition and intercession is very necessary, because it is through prayer that we channel our needs to God. After all, Jesus invites us, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you." Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. I have told you this in the past. One of my retreats at home, I asked people, "Which is your favorite text of scripture?" They say, "Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Ask and you shall receive." I told them, "What is your second one?" They said, "The same." "And your third?" "The same." I said, "Hold it now. Prayer is not only about asking, asking, asking. But people just like this text. Ask and you shall receive." So it should be noted that as important as intercessory prayer is, it is not the only form of prayer. It is just an aspect, a very important one for that matter. Other forms of prayer would include adoration, thanksgiving. You're thanking God, you know. Sometimes we are good at asking, but not too good with the part of thanksgiving. Once we get this one, then you say, "God, you've tried for this one. My next one is this." But we have blessing, praise, adoration, and even prayer of offering. You're offering yourself, offering your gifts to God. All these are prayers. So we come to this point that says, or praying continually and the prayer of petition. Our Lord enjoins us to pray continually and never lose heart. How does this injunction of our Lord apply to the prayer of petition and intercession? Does it mean that we should keep asking God for our needs until God grants them, because the Lord said, pray continually. Does it mean we should pester God until God grants us what we want? There's a passage we're going to read shortly, but not now, which is Luke chapter 18, verse 1 to 8. Some persons have told me that this passage means that they have to challenge God until God granted them their request. That in Nigeria, people say that a lot. Say, I challenge God. And I say, quiet, you can't challenge God. Quiet. I challenge God, and it's like a warfare, you know. I always tell them, don't be challenging God because you are going to lose, you know. They conclude that they never relented in their prayer of intercession and petition. And you know another thing they say? God was faithful. And God granted them their need. I say, quiet. It is we who should be faithful, not God. But people say this a lot in Nigeria. So it is worth asking, can we really challenge God to grant us our need? Can we bend God to grant us our needs? Can we bend God's will to our own will? Is it possible to do that? Well, it should be stated ab initio that there is no unanswered prayer. God answers all prayers. Sometimes the answer is positive, sometimes negative, which we don't like, or sometimes delayed. God speaking through the prophet Isaiah says, and I quote, Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10 to 11. For as the rain and snow come down from the sky and do not return before having watered the earth, so it is with the word that goes from my mouth. It will not return to me unfulfilled, or before having carried out my good pleasure and having achieved what it was sent to do. So similarly, there is no prayer of petition or intercession to God that returns unanswered. All intercessory prayers are answered according to God's will and plan. So to pray continually or constantly with regard to the prayer of petition requires that we present our needs before God and leave them there. Whatever God does with them, fine and good. An intention should be prayed for as regularly as one can. Even if it appears the prayer has not yet been answered, one should continue to repeat it to God. But one becomes more at peace with self if one can also add to the prayer, Lord, let your will be done. There are some prayers that we can say have been answered in the affirmative, while others we just have to keep on praying. For example, if a single person wants a spouse, a life partner, and the person keeps praying, God, give me a good wife, give me a good husband, and when the person is married, the prayer has been answered. You can't ask for another wife again. You're already married. Also, one prays for a job before a job interview. And when the person comes back, a week, if not immediately, a week or two, you know whether the prayer worked. Furthermore, if one is embarking on a journey and we pray for safe travels, as soon as we arrive there, we thank God because the prayer has been granted. You know, say, thank you, Lord. But many remember the one before arrival, but when they arrive, they don't thank God again. That happens a lot. Talking of God's will, that is difficult to actually even talk about, to even know what it is. But I was giving a retreat back home, and I talked about God's will. You know, that whenever we say a prayer, we should add, Lord, let your will be done. So during time for questions, and I know many of you are going to have questions for me later, somebody said, Father, you know, I really like what you said, you know, that
Lord, let your will be done. But when I pray, this is what I normally do. I will say the prayer, and I will say, Lord, let your will be done. However, I still want you to grant me what I am asking. I told the person it should be the other way around. Tell God what you want first, and conclude that let your will be done. The person said, suppose it is not God's will, what will I do? I said, no, you don't get it. It's simple. He said, oh no, there are some prayers you want God to answer. And that is why I said earlier, can we really bend God? So does it mean that prayer is not answered when the one who does not get the job, when one does not get the job one applied for? Some persons are angry at God and even stop praying altogether when their request is not granted by God. It should not be so. Our faith requires us to persevere in prayer. For our part, there are times we might have prayed and our prayers were seemingly not answered. For example, we pray for the healing of a sick person and the person dies instead. We just had that in our church here. The whole church gathered to pray for Deacon Gary. I was following the news. That is what all of us wanted. But it didn't happen. I had pain in my heart when my mother died, not because she passed away, but we're preparing for her 80th birthday. And she died 3 months to the time. And I said, God, you could have just allowed this birthday. 3 months wouldn't hurt. Wouldn't you just allow this us to have celebrated this? And what I told myself was that after my mother's 80th birthday, I would just say, God, anything you want, you can do. I'm okay. But we're 3 months shy of that. And I was just wondering, you know, couldn't you just have allowed her for us to celebrate this 80th birthday, then you can call her. So on the day of her funeral, I said this. When I said that, well, we're actually celebrating the birthday, but in a different way. Does it mean my prayer was not answered? Despite this bit, or somebody praying for a promotion or success in an interview, and it did not happen. These things happen. Despite these bitter experiences in intercessory prayer, my position is that we should never give up in our prayers of petition and intercession. God knows best our future. I will make the future even much better than what we had originally asked for. In the case of losing a loved one, what could be a better future? The better future is that the person is in heaven. It's we remaining that are suffering, you know. And how I wish those who are in heaven can tell us that I'm already in heaven, don't worry anymore. And that will help us at least. But the human element would always be there. And that is the point I'm trying to bring. So sometimes we are fighting ourselves. We know that this is the way it should be. But humanly speaking, it doesn't augur well for us. It doesn't tally well. In terms of prayer, people ask us, as I said earlier, to pray for them. And if you tell somebody you are going to pray for the person, please do so. Don't make that promise and you don't pray for the person. When I was growing up, and I have shared this with you over the years, my father was the one that, if you're going to do exam, he's the one that went around going to request for mass and everything. Even when I was already a priest and I was studying in America, I was doing my doctorate, I was to defend my doctoral thesis, my father went to 3 different parishes to pray for me, you know, to book for mass. And people were wondering, this place is already a reverend father, why are they praying for him so often, you know? They forget that we also need the prayer. So we all had a sanctuary that the father did all the praying. And then my father finally passed away. So everybody was nervous. Who's going to do it now? You know. And my eldest brother, God rest him, he just passed away this year, February. Now told me, say, when we had a family meeting, he said, Father, you know, you are the priest in the family. So what our father used to do is very natural that you not do it because you are the priest. I said, oh no, you are the eldest. You should do it. But at the end of the day, my mother was the one doing it. So we all need it. There's some form of assurance. And then now, naturally, people would call me. And sometimes when I say, Lord, please, if you look at me, for the sake of these people who believe that through my prayer you will grant them, please don't disappoint them. Just give them what they're asking. I know if you look at me, it may not work. But give them what they're asking for. So somehow back home, I had a reputation of praying for doctors who are going to do exam, and they pass. And I had a 100% record. You know, doctors, you know, they do the MBBS. I may not know the system too much here. Then you now become a consultant. Do they use the term consultant here? That is to specialize now. You can do general medicine. Then you want to be a pediatrician. You want to be a neurosurgeon. You know, you have to go back to school to some extent. And it's pretty tough in Nigeria. And with my younger brother, who is a professor of medicine now, I had to follow every step of the way, and I used to pray for him. So because of that, if some of these other doctors wanted to do exam, my brother would tell them, we send their names to me. This doctor is going to do exam. Could you pray? And it has worked so far. So there was a particular doctor whose name was Dr. Callistus. So my brother said he should call me himself to make the request. So he called. And he missed me. Then I called him back. I didn't get him. So he called again. Was to do the exam the next day. Very tough exam. So and I said, okay, I said, Dr. Callistus, I will celebrate mass for you tomorrow morning. I will say a prayer for you. He said, Father, that is fine, but could you pray for me now, even in the phone, over the phone? I need some prayers from you now. So I said the prayers over the phone. Then the next morning, I also prayed for him. Dr. Callistus went to the exam. The last things he ever read or prepared were the only things they asked him in the exam. And he passed in flying colors. He said when they were praising him that he was so wonderful, he thought that they were talking about somebody else. So he now called. When he got home, the wife said, have you called Father Callistus to thank him? Have you called him? But before that, you know what he told my younger brother, who is also a medical doctor? He said, that your brother, the Reverend Father, he knows what he's doing. Unfortunately, I told this story at a retreat where there were many doctors. After that, any doctor doing exam, they came to me for prayer. Hey, at some point, and so far, 100% record. At some point, I said, Lord, I hope, please. So each time I say these prayers, I just beg God that they believe that they will pass because of this prayer. Please, don't fail them. And so far, so good until I left for sabbatical year. So people sometimes can believe so much in your intercession for them. Let me put it that way. And we should not underestimate it. I'm going to look at two passages today. One of them is Luke chapter 11, verse 5 to 8. Could our sister read it for us here?
Yes. The heading is Further Teachings on Prayer. And he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend to whom he goes at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived at my house from a journey, and I have nothing to offer him. And he says in reply from within, do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children and I are already in bed. I cannot get up to give you anything. I tell you, if he does not get up to give him the loaves because of their friendship, he will get up to give him whatever he needs because of his persistence.
Thank you very much. Just 1 second before we read the second one. Our Lord uses this parable, which Aurora just read, of the importunate friend to illustrate perseverance in prayer. And this perseverance has to do specifically with intercessory prayer. Oftentimes, the meaning of a parable, after all, a parable means something that is similar. But oftentimes, the meaning of the parable is in the similarity. But in this instance, this very passage, the meaning of this parable is in the contrast. This parable shows that if persistence could make this man to grant the request of his friend for bread at night, despite the obvious inconvenience, how much more will God grant the request of those who cry to him? Jesus said, "If you then, evil as you are, know how to give your children what is good, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Let's hear the second passage from Luke chapter 18, verse 1 to 8.
Then he told them a parable about the necessity for them to pray always without becoming weary. He said, "There was a judge in a certain town who neither feared God nor respected any human being. And a widow in the town used to come to him and say, 'Render a just decision for me against my adversary.' For a long time, the judge was unwilling. But eventually he thought, 'Well, it is true that I neither fear God nor respect any human being. Because this widow keeps bothering me, I shall deliver a just decision for her, lest she finally come and strike me.' The Lord said, 'Pay attention to what the dishonest judge says. Will not God then secure the rights of his chosen ones who call out to him day and night? Will he be slow to answer them? I tell you, he will see to it that justice is done for them speedily. But when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?'"
Thank you very much. So similarly, this next parable that was just read is referred to as the parable of the unjust judge. We are told that this judge has no fear of God, no respect for any human being. And that is a terrible judge to have. It again illustrates perseverance in prayer. So during the time of our Lord, there were paid magistrates appointed by either Herod or the Romans. These judges had a tendency to be corrupt and to pervert justice. People bribed them to get justice in their favor. And the widow in this particular parable represents the poor and the defenseless who could not afford to bribe a judge. The widow who was poor had no chance of getting justice from such a corrupt judge. But this widow had a great weapon in persistence. The widow's persistence finally paid off when the judge granted her her justice for fear of being subjected to violence. So both parables, the meaning of both parables lies in the contrast. The unjust judge certainly does not represent God. Never. Instead, it portrays the contrast between God and the judge. William Barclay, a scripture scholar, as he puts it, and I quote, "Jesus was saying, if in the end an unjust and rapacious judge can be wearied into giving a widow woman justice, how much more will God, who is the loving Father, give his children what they need?" So the two parables that we just read, they do not mean that we should pester God until God grants us our request. Far from it. Our prayer of intercession does not change God, but it changes us. Through our prayer of intercession and petition, we come to accept God's will and learn to let go. We learn to hand over everything to God and be ready to accept any outcome to our prayer as God's will. So the injunction of Jesus Christ encourages us to pray continually and never be discouraged. Although God always answers us, it does not mean that God will grant us everything we ask for. As noted earlier, there is no unanswered prayer. The prayer given may not be what we desired or expected. Even if nothing has changed after our prayer of petition and intercession, the prayer is still answered, in the sense that our minds and our hearts would have changed in the process. That is an answer. We have to come to accept it as God's will. Our eyes open up and we look at things differently after spending time in prayer. Hence, we should strive to seek God's will in prayer, and God will grant our prayers beyond our imagination. Perseverance in prayer can be likened to depositing your money in the bank. Such money will be useful someday in the future. God is like a father or mother who refuses what a child asks for, because they know it will hurt the child. We do not know the future, but God does. God knows the future. Thus, it is only God who knows what is good for us in the long run. Ours sometimes is in the interim, now. But God can see what lies ahead, which we don't see. As long as we seek the face of God, God will grant us our intercessory prayers. If God is first in our lives, we are sure that God would always answer our prayers, even if things do not turn out exactly as we had hoped for. Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI echoes the need for us not to be discouraged in prayer, since God answers all prayers. And I say, he quotes, or rather he says, and I quote, "Many times we ask God to deliver us from physical and spiritual evil. However, we often have the impression that he doesn't hear us, and we run the risk of becoming discouraged and of not persevering. In reality, there is no human cry that God does not hear. God the Father's answers to his Son was not the immediate freedom from suffering from the cross or from death. Through the cross and his death, God answered with the resurrection." So the answer, that is a very powerful statement by Pope Benedict. So the Blessed Virgin Mary as our intercessor. Our Blessed Mother is our great intercessor. A classic example was the wedding at Cana in Galilee. And in my book, Praying the Rosary, with other reflection on the Blessed Virgin Mary, I noted, so I'm trying to quote myself now. So this is what I said in my book. Okay, let's put it this way. According to, as Father, listen to Sarah has noted. I quote, "Mary asks for this singular favor on behalf of some friends in need. Mary is sensitive to their needs. She is the first to notice that the wine has finished. She sees that they need more wine. She decides to ask her Son a favor on their behalf. She intercedes for us regularly. She hands our needs over to Jesus, her Son. Mary is very affectionate, and as our mother, she is not only aware of our needs, but she presents them to her Son. She notices our needs and hands them over to her Son. She trusts and believes that the response of her Son will always be what is good for us. Hence, Mary continues to exhort us, as she did at Cana, do whatever he tells you." If Mary interceded for people at the wedding in Cana who did not ask for her intercession, how much more will she intercede for us who constantly ask for her intercession in our prayers? Unquote. And as I said earlier, the saints intercede for us as well. There are sometimes some people are incapable of interceding for, of even asking someone to pray for them. They have passed that stage. And it is very, very important we pray for them. Sometimes people are too ill to even ask someone to pray for them. Our prayers are very, very important. I know we've been doing it. Let's continue. Despite the bumps we face, the core of today is that we should never, never give up. We should just keep on praying and leave it in God's hands. So in conclusion, so that means I'm coming to an end now. Prayer is our greatest weapon as Christians. Hence, we should be tireless in our intercessory prayers. Okay, I'm ahead of the paper. There are times when some people are incapable of praying for themselves. Our intercessory prayers become invaluable when offered for such people. We should continually intensify our intercession for others in our prayers. Invariably, we have at some point in our lives benefited immensely from the intercession of other people. By and large, we should persevere in our intercessory prayers. Let us not give up when our prayers are apparently not answered favorably by God. Undoubtedly, God knows best. Through prayer, we place ourselves in God's hands, and we believe that God will always take care of us through thick and thin. Through prayer, we trust that God will hold us in the palm of his hands. May the Blessed Virgin Mary intercede for us and our families, both now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.